No, you're not dreaming. This is the news, according to me.
I don't know what you kids are up to out there. Crazy kids.
Yeah, I woke up this morning and realized it's not a dream. This is not a dream. I raised my head up off of my pillow. Thank you, Mike Lindell. And thank you, little Swiss Miss, for my hot chocolate. Whoever you are out there. Yeah. Well, here we go. The first full day, if Biden can find his way to the Oval Office, and if he has a pen and knows how to use it, it's probably... Obama was famous for saying, I have a pen and I have a phone. I have a pen and I have a phone. And I will do all these things. After, 6 months earlier saying he couldn't do those things because it was unconstitutional, then he turns around and does those things because he has a pen and a phone. Because he because he got shellacked, as he said, his words, in the 2014 midterms, got shellacked. It was a shellacking. Yeah. So, in other words, they lost the House, and that was in the Senate. So it was very different story. Hot chocolate. So he said that, and that, even though that's pretty lame to say that.
I have a pen and I have a phone.
And then, I'm sure Biden has a pen and a phone, but it's probably one of those little, all I see him picking up to use as a phone is like one of those little toy phones that has wheels on it, that when you pull it, the eyes roll around. When I had one of those as a kid, I can't remember who made it. If somebody knows, get call in. Let me know how that's important. I need to know this. I have to have this information in front of me. I don't know, whoever made those little phones, that you play with and has a little, that's what I see him using. Because, frankly, he's not writing the speeches that he's reading. And I don't even know if he reads them before he goes on air with them. Now, this is a guy who's been in politics for over 40 years. He's done a lot of speeches, read a lot of teleprompters. And frankly... Okay, so I've been in recording, in the recording business for a long time. And I've understood audio and frequencies and people's voices. And after a while you develop it's not something I'm, it's just time spent doing it. It's not that I've got some kind of special gift or that I'm better than you. I'm not coming across that way, but and anybody who's worked in audio, especially vocal audio recording, the voiceover business, even in radio, and I would say even in singing as well, the music world. If you've done much recording or engineering, sound engineering, you start to develop this ability to hear things that... You just become aware of things audibly that most people are not aware of. I can walk into a room and I can hear frequencies and things running and things going on that most people tune out. They just tune it out. Now, I can tune it out, usually, but a lot of times it really irritates me. If I walk into a venue, like if I walk into a church and they've got music playing and they're the band's doing its thing, and the sound guy is doing everything he can to make the band sound good, but the room acoustically has a lot of issues. Sometimes one issue can cover another issue. In other words, you might think that there's a problem with the bass in the room, but it's actually something in a different frequency that's causing the issue with the muddying up of another frequency. So you have to kind of start to isolate those things and figure out which, you know, what's going on, which you know, what frequency is doing what to what, and why do we have bounce on a certain frequency in the room and we don't have, you know, in other words, that particular frequency is bouncing around in the room, whereas another frequency isn't. So there's things called diffusion, there's things called absorption in sound, and so you got all those things that you have to know. Well, you walk into a room where there's, you know, they got too much, maybe the EQ isn't right on the band, or maybe the, you know, the guitars or something's not right on the audio panel. That's annoying. A lot of people won't notice it. They just know that the sound isn't that great, but they don't know where to even begin to, because they haven't been in that environment. They haven't had the exposure to it. Sometimes it's the room. Sometimes it's the audio panel. Sometimes it's the musician. You can't do much with that. I've had people in the recording studio who, dare I say, they just didn't sound good, and they thought I could make them sound good. I can make them sound the best that they can sound. I can't make them sound better than they sound. So, I mean, I can auto-tune. I can do all those things. It helps. But then you can kind of tell a person who understands. You can listen to a song and know whether or not they've been using auto-tune. And now auto-tune, in fact, it became so obvious with some people that they just started using it as an effect. I mean, Cher uses it. I mean, Cher doesn't have to. Cher's got a very good voice. She's got actually very tonal quality. She's very good. But she used it on a lot of her songs as an effect. Do you believe in love after love? I mean, it's just, you know, just they use this little, it's like a little flippy-doo thing that happens with the auto-tune, because they can bend it a little bit and make it work at certain points. So it's, yeah. Okay, said all that to say this. Yes, and I have a point. And I've got a cap to cover it. So the point is, for those of you just waking up, realizing that I'm on the air, that you're listening to my show, if you haven't fallen back asleep yet, and if you're driving, that's a problem. So you have a guy who's reading speeches. This guy's probably done more speeches in the last 24 hours than he did in his entire campaign. And you start to notice a certain cadence, a certain way of reading. And now, granted, you have to realize the people who are writing his speeches are writing them with his vocal style in mind. They know how he speaks, so they're writing for that. You have to, you know, keep that in mind. Now, once he gets off that script, once he gets off the teleprompter, it is a train wreck. And,
not a joke.
It's not a joke. Now, I'm going to pick on Joe a little bit this morning. Good old Joe. Because, in his own words.
By the way, all you teachers out there, not that many of you are going to die, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it.
Okay, well, don't worry about it. Come on.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on. Well, so you got
come
this.
Come on, man.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you there, Joe. So, and yeah, I'm filling up the soundboard with a lot of Joe stuff. Now, first of all, let me back up here a little bit to the what I was talking about with the sound thing. Joe is, you can, okay, how do I put this politely? The man is, his idea, the things that he's saying are not his ideas. He's not, do you think he's walking into the Oval Office and telling everyone what his agenda is for the day? I mean, a lot of things are already set for a president. You don't realize how much pomp and circumstance and all the other things that are decided for him or her before they even get up for the day. You know, they are the executive. They can do what they want to some extent. They could say no to certain things or yes to certain, you know, they can adjust their schedule, but there are things that take priority. They have responsibilities, and sometimes those things govern and dictate what they can and can't do throughout the day. So they're not just, I get that part of it. I understand, you know, as a businessman, I understand that sometimes, you know, you have intentions to get up during the day, and there's certain things you want to do, and you have these plans. You know, you want to stay on the sofa for 4 hours, and your wife has other plans, and you can't do that. So you only spend 3 hours on the sofa. So, story of my life. So then we have this, but so he goes into the Oval Office, and people are basically telling him what he's going to do. This is your schedule, Joe. No, over here. This is your chair over here, Joe. No, Joe. This, yeah, play with that phone there, Joe. Just pretend like you're on the phone with somebody. China, maybe. Okay. Xi Jinping. Yeah, just do that. So you've got this guy who, and here's the other thing. When he speaks, he sounds like he's more inebriated than Nancy Pelosi. I'm not trying to be mean here, but I have concerns because I have family who's had some issues. I've seen other people who have had issues, been around this before, and there's a mental decline that happens, and it affects the speech patterns and the ability to speak clearly and articulately. Articulately. See, I'm losing it, and I'm not denying it. So you have this issue of the speech patterns, the ability to speak, and the ability to put together an idea from point to point. Now, I go rambling off into all kinds of different directions because right now I've got about 20,000 thoughts in my head. So, well, okay, maybe 19,000. I exaggerated. So you have all these thoughts in your head. And you can still assemble a relatively normal point. So, I was going to try to make a joke. Steve Martin had this thing he had a joke a long time ago. If for those of you who used to listen to him on 8-track, because he had 8-tracks back in the day. It's one thing where he said, well, I'm a very, some people have a very, you know, can speak. I had something about speaking. And he said, and the punchline, all I remember was the punchline. I guess it's just like, and some people not have way. So it was like, it's like he couldn't speak right. That's Joe. Okay, that's Joe. And sometimes me and something in the mornings, especially this early in the morning. This is really early. It's only, you know, it's like 9:20. It's really early. Well, it's 6:20 on the West Coast, so they're there. So there you go. It's probably 3:00 in the morning out in Hawaii. So that's why I'm so tired, in the middle of the night someplace. So you got all this stuff happening. And
come on.
Yeah, okay. I'll get to my point. Sorry, Joe. So then this guy is speaking. So now here's really the point behind the point. Everybody keeps talking about Joe Biden for the next 4 years. Joe Biden for the next 4 years. Oh, for the next 4 years, Joe Biden presidency. Oh, that's going to be great. Oh, yes. His arms are reaching out to us. I don't know, for those of you who didn't hear the commentator, who wasn't such a commentator, on Tuesday night, this guy was out there talking about the lights that are stretching out from the Capitol building and on the reflection pond, and how it was like Joe Biden's arms are reaching out to the people. It's a new era. It's like being at church, how everyone's talking here after the ceremony, after the inauguration. It's like being at church and everyone's just, you know, being here. It's like a church experience here at the Temple of Democracy. So, yeah. So anyway, the point behind the point, I'm going to get to it. Okay. I've got a 20-minute show. I've still got 3 minutes left. So, it only takes me 20 minutes to make a point. They say that the it takes a more intelligence to use less words to make your point clear. A person who can make their point in fewer words is more intelligent. I'm just going to leave that right there because it takes me 20 minutes of talking to make a point, and I'm not even sure that it was the original point that I set out to make. So that I just want to put that out there for you to think about, ponder, and why you're listening to this. By the way, I do appreciate you all listening. Another rabbit trail. I appreciate you listening, subscribing, sharing this podcast. Since Parler went down, that Parler was our main launch pad, which was our big mistake, I guess. My big mistake, because it's down. I was growing exponentially, and it was compounded daily. More and more listeners, and got a lot of subscribers from that. So people that have subscribed have, you know, they can listen every day. But all of a sudden, we are on a plateau of numbers of listens per day. So, but I do appreciate everybody who listens, and it really helps us if you can share this on social media. That would be helpful. Subscribe, that kind of stuff. But yeah, what's happening now is you've got Biden in there, and they keep saying the next 4 years, and this is all, now there's a lot of stuff going on. While all this inauguration stuff was going on, and while all this other stuff was going on, Congress is flying under the radar right now. First of all, Joe Biden's not going to be president for 4 years, okay? Let's just, if by the end of this 4 years, Joe Biden is still the POTUS in 2023. I have a hat on right now. And if I don't lose it between now and then, I will eat it. So I'm going to start soaking it and seasoning it up, but just in case. But I'm pretty sure Joe's not going to be around in the office of the POTUS. I'd be surprised if he makes it to the end of this year. Okay, I'd be surprised if the Biden administration is still the Biden administration in 2022. I think we're going to see a Harris administration pretty quickly, fairly soon. They cannot wait to have that happen. Because it's not about how competent the person is who's in the White House. It's about who gets to be the first. It's this thing of we're going to show ourselves to be the least racist because we put a person of color and a woman in the White House. That's a big deal. Because it doesn't matter whether she's qualified or not. And here's the other problem on this equation. I don't know if anybody's noticed or not. She is in way over her head. There are women out there that I would put up alongside Trump and say they could lead just as well. You know, Trump's not there are plenty of them out there. So I'm not saying that a woman can't do this. I'm not picking on her as a woman. I'm not picking on her as a person of color. I am picking on the fact that she is incredibly unqualified. And she is in way over her head. She doesn't know what she's doing. And getting back to the whole vocal thing, when she speaks, and the speech, I don't know who her speechwriter is. She's not saying anything. And neither did Joe Biden. Yesterday, when he was doing his speeches, it was all flowery gobbledygook. It meant nothing. And of course, their idea of unity and bringing the country back together again means we get rid of, we reprogram you, or we, you know, this is the language the left is using right now. We need to reprogram the people who supported Trump, these people in this cult. In this violent cult. And so you have that kind of rhetoric going on. In the meantime, the Congress, while all this stuff is, all the pomp and circumstances going on, here's some of the stuff going on in Congress. They are already talking about federal legislation for the elections. They're going to do away with voter IDs. It's illegal for a state to have voter ID. That's one of the things, that's some of the, now these haven't gone through. These are some of the things that are being proposed in legislation right now, going to the floor. They're going to, how does that help? They're saying it reduces voter suppression. You know, you would think they'd be more interested in not requiring an ID to get a library card. Because you have to have one in almost all libraries. You have to have some kind of ID to get a library card. You have to have an ID to get your unemployment benefits. You have to have an ID to get just about anything else from the federal government. But now all of a sudden, to vote, the one thing where it matters, I wouldn't care if somebody cheated to get a food card. If they were that desperate for food. If we have people cheating to vote, that's taking away from my vote. Unless they're voting for the right guy, which is what this is all about. Because the end justifies the means in their case. That's what it means. No, seriously, it really bothers me that they're going to, here's the next thing that's going to happen. And I guarantee you this is going to happen. And it will fly under the radar. It will be in some kind of bill. This bill that they've got going on with this whole process, this election law reformation thing is, I don't know, it's a couple hundred pages long. It's ridiculous. It's, of course it is, because you have to pass the bill to find out what's in it. So that's what they're going to do. We're going to pass the bill.
Come on.
Yeah. And we're going to find out what's in it. And it's not going to be good. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's something in that bill that will get us one step closer to getting rid of the Electoral College. It might even be there. It might be a legislative bill that literally changes the groundwork for being able to get an amendment to get rid of the Electoral College. Because yes, that is a platform on the left. They want to do that. Once they do that, after seeing what happened here this last election, you have to understand, first of all, the Electoral College was designed specifically for the purpose of a natural disaster, a particular regional area having an issue, it protects the country because of certain issues in the country. If there are issues such as, something like a pandemic, and not as many people can make it to the polls, it protects each of those states because they still get the same number of votes no matter how many people show up to vote. So they get the same number of electorals. If you only had 10 people show up to vote in Indiana, and six of them voted for because of some kind of natural disaster or some kind of an issue. Maybe there was a snowstorm the day of the election. You still have the same number of electoral votes. So Indiana is not adversely affected by that weather system. Does that make sense? That's one of the many reasons for the Electoral College. Maybe a storm hits the East Coast and people can't get into the polls that day. There's a lower turnout. The lower turnout on the East Coast doesn't matter because there's still the same number of electoral votes. So the same number of people are still being represented. If we go to no electoral college and just use the popular vote, now, guess what? A very small portion of our country can determine the outcome of an election. And guess what else that makes it very convenient for in areas that don't have voter ID? They can, well, we saw it happen in the middle of the night with boxes of ballots pulled out from under a table and counted with no observation, with cardboard put up over windows so that people couldn't see what was going on inside. What is that about? I mean, come on. How? They might as well have put on the cardboard, cheating inside, do not look. Oh, but I'm sure they had very good reason for doing that. No, nothing to see here. No, I'm looking forward to working with Joe Biden. I lost my job as the majority leader, but I'm okay with that because I've got $22 million myself, so I don't really care. Yeah, so so here's a guy. Yeah, here's a guy who makes $250,000 a year. He's now worth $22 million. Yeah. So, oh, can you say China? So then we have all this going on. So there's all this other legislation that's going on behind the scenes. See, I'm still on my point. I can do this. So with all the pomp and circumstance, all the fawning over Joe Biden, and of course they've got this press secretary who is, if this is not the lamest administration since I don't know when, this is just absolutely ridiculous. And the kind of questions that are being asked, it's just absolutely pathetic. And if you don't think, and this is, here's the thing. You've got about 80 million people out there who are ticked off. You've got about another, let's say half of those, let's say 30 million people who are pretty mad about it. And you've got another 10 million people at least who are livid, just absolutely incensed. Now, I don't break it down any further than that. But there's some people who are pretty upset here. And it's not going away. And the Republican Party, the leadership, the establishment leadership at the top, is not making any friends right now. And I'll tell you something. Democrats, for the most part, they're just into the social part of this whole thing, and they won't pay attention. Their memories are last about 3 days in terms of political stuff. They just got other things going on. Republicans have a tendency to be a lot more engaged and involved. And I'm generalizing, and I realize that, but that's the case. That is statistically on record. At the same time, because of this engagement and because they care a little bit more about those issues, they have a tendency to remember things longer. And we are heading for an economy that is going to be, how do I say, in the crapper. I don't know, you know, I know that when Trump left his farewell speech, he said, well, you know, we've set them up to be, you know, the economy can really skyrocket after this and it's going to really take off. Maybe it can. Maybe he's seeing something I don't see. Personally, I think that was a bit of a setup in saying that. I think that Trump probably could have, you know, we could have as a nation, if everybody would have gotten behind the whole, you know, the economy and really gotten into it and got engaged, I think we can turn this thing around. However, I do believe that because of the spending that's going on right now, they're already going into the trillions of dollars in terms of relief packages. Now, we've seen what happens with these relief packages. The actual relief package was about $200 billion. The other $7 billion went out of the country, which should inflame everyone, left and right. You should be mad about that. Some of the things that some of these funds went to that were in the COVID relief package, a Heroes Act, all this crap that they're going to have. This is what we're going to see now. This new $1.9 trillion bill that they're talking about passing, that they're going to put through probably pretty quickly, right after the other one we just had. This one's going to have the total $2,000 deal. So you're going to get a total of $2,000 if you don't make enough money. And the rest of us who make too much to get one of those are going to, guess what? We're going to pay for it. And what they're not telling you is that's a tax credit. It's not actually money in your pocket. You will pay income tax on that. So don't think that you're going to, it's just free money. First of all, it's your money. So you'll pay for it one way or another. And any money that you had in savings, guess what, is worth less now because they're just printing more money as fast as they can print it, which is just a matter of touching everything's digitized now. Money's digitized. There's a certain amount of cash out there in circulation, sure, but they can just a few keystrokes on a thing, and that the Federal Reserve can do that. And the Federal Reserve's not federal, and doesn't have any reserves. It's just a bunch of guys that have their cabal on our, it's a mafia. It's a money mafia. So anyway, I digress. So the things that are happening in, in Congress right now, pay attention. Pay attention to what's going on in Congress. Because what they're doing is getting all this stuff lined up over the under the radar. If you ever heard of the book Rules for Radicals, it's the book that basically the left is the, it's like their Bible. It's the Rules for Radicals are the Bible on the left. Democracy is their religion, and government is their God. And that's why they're so fervent about the things and passionate about the things that they do. And they feel like they need to please the gods of government. And of course, I'm not going to go down that road. But anyway, so we have all this stuff going on. They are going to overwhelm the system with so much legislation and try to pack as much as they can into these, because they have this opportunity. You know, never let a crisis go to waste. I guess that's what the term is. So it's this crisis. So everybody's like, oh yeah, we need this money. Oh, you got to pass this. Everybody's behind this bill because I got to pass it because we need stimulus money. So all of a sudden it's $2 trillion, which ends up being a lot more. But I don't know if you ever look at it, the way they do that is they put this thing in the bill, and then there's always these floodgates for other money to flow. It ends up being almost twice what the bill was for. So we're talking about a $3.5 to $4 trillion bill here. That's what the actual cost is going to be. That's not even talking about the interest on the money we're using. So, which we shouldn't. This nation should not be paying interest on money. We should be lending money, not borrowing money. that's a story for another day. So, you've got all this stuff going on. They're gonna pack these bills with stuff that have nothing to do with COVID relief. Nothing. But because everyone's behind getting something done with COVID right now, that's where we're going. So that's how this stuff works. And just pay attention. Try to pay attention to some of the things that are going to be in these bills. There are some good congressmen out there that actually try to report on what's actually in the bill. And that's why sometimes you'll see congressmen vote against something, because why did they vote against the stimulus bill? Well, because there was 75% of the money in there had nothing to do with stimulus. So that's what's going on. And you're going to see that in hyperdrive for the next 2 years, because they know they have the House and the Senate. I seriously doubt that the Republicans, or at least not the conservative Republicans, will ever see the House or the Senate or the presidency ever again. Because they're going to be changing legislation. And who are we going to appeal to? The Supreme Court?
What a joke. That's funny.
The Supreme Court. It's like the Supreme Pizza. It's all that's worth. Because they've proven themselves to be irrelevant. They have ruled themselves. Today, the Supreme Court has ruled themselves irrelevant. Yep. That's what they are. they're irrelevant. So that's where we are today. I don't mean to be, well, yeah, I do. I mean to be a downer. Sorry. That's where we're at. That's what we're at. We're in Downerville. We're living in Downerville because that's where we are. So, have fun with all that. No. Having said all that, let me just, well, there was one other point I was going to talk about, and I don't have it in my notes. I don't know what happened to that. It was really important, too. I'm sure it was. And it had a lot to do with people's lives. So, so we have all these issues going on, and we have this new administration. Guarantee we're going to see the military industrial complex spin up, spool up, and they're going to have to be engaged in some kind of new war somewhere. I would guess that before the end of the year, we will probably see some kind of new conflict someplace that we're going to have to get involved in. One of the other points I was going to make, and I just remember what it was, I was kind of going down that road, and I never did get there. President Trump was, surprise, surprise. President Trump was talking about how we're set up with this economy to be in really good shape. We are not. I don't see any way that we are not going to see some kind of a nosedive because of the whole COVID thing and all the spending that they're doing. Now, that being said, everyone needs to remember this moment because right now the economy is strong and we can use what momentum we have to keep it from being very bad. And by that, I mean we need to come out of this in a way that doesn't stifle growth anymore. We need to be very careful with it at this point. That's not what they're doing. They're not being very careful. They're using what little momentum we have and what little strength we have in our economy right now. They are going to destroy our economy by the Green New Deal, all the new implementation of all of the new legislation that is basically going to gut our country as far as the energy sector, as well as education, all the things that are going to happen in the first 100 days here are going to be, you're going to see the precedent set, and you're going to see confidence in investment go down. I mean, right now, the stock market's doing very well. And I don't use that as a barometer of where the country is in terms of how well off we are, because people play the stock market that don't relate to normal life. However, it is a sign. The only barometer, if there is one, is confidence in the economic direction. And when you see the stock market start to wane, plateau, and go down, and stay down, not just the daily ups and downs, but a true percentage loss and then a never coming back, that's when people have lost confidence in investments. And we are going to see that in the next year, probably. So, and again, having said all of that, here let me just... it's time for me to close out. So let me just close out by saying this. God has not abandoned the United States. He has not abandoned his people. And I'm not saying that just the United States are his only people. I'm not saying that only Republicans or those who didn't vote for Biden are his people. Everybody is his people, okay? So we're all created by him, whether you believe in him or not. He wants you to. He wants you to come to a knowledge of who he is and to find out about his goodness and the better way to live and the way to eternal life. He wants you to find out all those things. He will not cross the line of making you believe anything. He respects your sovereignty as a human being, your right to rule your life or to lay that rule down at his feet. You have that right. He's not going to force you one way or the other. Because that wouldn't be life. That would just be slavery. So we have this ability to accept and to choose life. And God will not abandon you just because you're rebellious. Because your rebellion in and of itself is its own judgment. So here we are as a nation. And even though I cannot accept at all, and I don't care who calls me, whatever they want to call me, what kind of names they want to call me, I'm not accepting Joe Biden as the legitimate president of the United States. He's not. He's just not. He's in office, and I respect the office of the presidency. Now, strangely enough, all the people who for 4 years said they didn't accept or respect the person in the office for the 4 years, all of a sudden that becomes a crime to say that. And yet he was duly elected. Probably more so than we realize now. And we have this individual in the White House that you can't convince me unless you can. And here's the problem. They won't even try to convince me. Simply telling me there's no evidence and that that it's all a conspiracy theory and it's all been debunked is not going to convince me. You really have in this case, this is one of those weird things where you really have the obligation to prove it to me that he won. That the things I'm seeing with my own eyes, the calculations mathematically that can be done on any little calculator, on a little junior high calculator, that don't add up and that can't add up. And anybody who's run numbers and understands technology understands that this is an impossibility. And yet, everybody, we're supposed to just accept it, slam it down our throats, and okay, we got rid of Orange Man Bad. So, that just ain't going to happen. In the meantime, we're left here with our lives to do what we need to do. And here's my recommendation. Continue to pray for our nation. Continue to pray for our leadership. Pray for repentance and revival in our nation. A turning away from deception, greed, lust for power, fear, deception. I might have said that already. Just need to continue that path, and then at the same time, be a blessing to those around you in your circle and those you have influence on. And what little voice you have, let it be heard. Write your congressmen, senators. Give them a phone call. Send them an email. Be respectful and polite, but truthful and in their face. And have facts on your side. Don't just spew out a bunch of stuff that's, you saw on the internet. So, yeah, happy Thursday to you. As we go into the tonight's show, the big shoe tonight with Rabbi Rick when he gets here. I'm sure there will be more moaning and groaning about the current situation of our nation and the president that we have in the office, the guy that's in the office right now, the guy that's occupying the White House. I think that's what were the names they used to call Trump? Was it the current guy who occupies the Oval Office? Yeah, that's what they used to say. So something like that. So that's what we're going to do. Yeah. And of course, they're going to call us terrorists, white supremacists, all those things that they've been calling us anyway for the last 4 years. So, yeah, here we are. Well, you know what? Basically, it's Thursday. And I wish you all well. Hope you all have a good day. And this afternoon we'll be getting the show all ready to go for Rabbi Rick when he gets here. And we'll talk about more issues, stuff that's going on. I'll try to get some research done on some of the bills that are now being proposed right away here at Congress. They just can't wait. They're chomping at the bit to get them out, to get them through, especially now that because this is kind of the honeymoon phase of the Biden administration. So they can do more right now because they have all this media gloating over the glorious Joe and Kamala, Kami. Anyway, have a great day, everybody. God bless. Make sure you text 574-742-6748. Let me know what you think. Have a great day.